All things are possible with God. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for your manifest power, that not through the eloquence of word or speech or language, God, but by your Spirit, Lord, the demonstration of your Spirit today, right now, Lord God, already manifest amongst us, Lord, in the sharing of your word and the praises going up. We pray that continues now, Lord God, as you sow truth into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Psalm 35, 36, and 37, I found kind of a trilogy there of enlisting God. Psalm 36, magnifying God or choosing your team. And Psalm 37, digging in. This all has to do with a battle plan. The battle plan for the Christian. In other words, every day, your daily life. Psalm 35, enlisting God, that's calling upon him. It's bringing him into the equation or yielding to him. He's already there. It's become aware of him. Psalm 36, magnifying God and diminishing the enemy, making it clear the distinction between the two kingdoms and choosing God. Then 37 is finally really digging in. And you can think of digging in as a soldier would dig in to the trenches ready for battle. Or you can think of digging in to a big hoagie sandwich, whatever delights you today. Both apply. Psalm 35 we'll begin with here. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. So that's a general principle in Psalm 35. You're going to see like a teeter-totter happening here. Psalm 35 is really heavy on the presence of the enemy and the struggle with the enemy. And then you kind of balance out there with a middle psalm, a shorter psalm there, 36. And then 37, you see the kingdom of God taking precedence. So Psalm 35, you're going to see a lot about the enemy. And this, them that strive with me, them that fight against me, that's the whole definition here of the kingdom of darkness. So I was looking for some type of box or can to bring this in. I was like, man, that's nasty. I got to clean that up. And I was like, wait a minute. What's it representing? It's representing the kingdom of darkness, K-O-D. This is the COD today. Inside of it, we're going to find various elements that apply. But the whole bucket is called the kingdom of darkness. So those are the things that fight against me as I serve the Lord, as I walk forward in the Spirit, as I walk forward following Jesus, the disciple of me. We know each one of us is going to have this against us. I think we get shocked and surprised, and we want to stop following the Lord because we have this against us. We don't like to have enemies. We like to be friends with everything. We don't like that kind of stress in our life. But the truth of the matter is, you've got to pick one or the other. There's two teams down here. There isn't straddling between the two. Jesus made that real clear. You can't serve two masters. You're going to hate one and love the other. It's just how it is. So there's two kingdoms down here. And the kingdom of darkness is the heavy thing that's going to be weighing in this psalm. And it's going to, now you're going to see the teeter-totter shift as we move into the other two psalms. Take hold of shield, the verse 2 of Psalm 35, and buckler. Stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. God, speak to me. He's enlisting God in the battle here, and that's very important. The battle belongs to who? All right? We have to remind ourselves of that. As we grow in the Lord, you know, that becomes more and more evident that the battle belongs to him. We're enlisting God here in this. Draw out your spear, God. Stop the way against them. Let them be confounded in verse 4 and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Psalm 1 talks about that chaff as the wicked. They're like the chaff that blows in the wind. And here we see in Psalm 35 that idea being used again. The chaff is the part of the wheat that's discarded. The wicked being associated with that, just let the wind blow them away. And let the angel of the Lord chase them. Notice the next few verses, you'll see that. the angel of the Lord, very specifically enlisting God in the battle. So important. In the midst of our enemies, he's presented a table. He anoints our head with oil, but we need to enlist God in this. It's not us. It's not up to us to be victorious. It's not up to us to win the battle, but to engage it properly by enlisting the Lord. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Again, let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. So traps being laid out there. So in the kingdom of darkness, we know we have three primary elements. I try to pick some nasty things today. Let's try not to disturb it too much, so let's out a puff of junk. This is a moldy air filter for a shop vac. All right, so three elements here. Old shoe and the glove here. And we'll be referring to these different representations of what comes against us. But it all came out of that Oscar the Grouch bucket there, Kingdom of Darkness, the trash can that we know is against us in so many different ways. But three primary ways coming against us is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he has hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall, verse 8 says. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yes, the poor and the needy from him that destroys him or spoils him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling or destroying of my soul. They rewarded me evil for good. Lots of stories in the Bible about that. Joseph, perhaps one of the ones that comes up to mind very early on in Genesis, where he was doing nothing but good, but his brothers rewarded him with evil. So that is the way of the world. That's the ways of the world, to reward us evil for doing good. And this is where Christians can fall off and get cold and apostate and shrink back, is when we get served back garbage for showing love. What are you going to do when that happens? It will happen. It will happen to you. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to get all messed up. I'm going to get an attitude, and that's the last I put myself out for anybody. Is that Christ? Is that what Jesus did? This is the way of the world. It's like a tennis match. I brought that up before, and your opponent's on the other side of the net there. It's very clear. You have an opponent. There's a battle going on, and things are being served back and forth. You serve the ball, and they serve back an old fish, a carp, a decayed carp back at you. And then instead of hitting that back, the Spirit of God tells you, no, to serve back the proper thing, the ball, the tennis ball. And it's like, how long is this going to go on? You keep getting things sent back at you. Oh, here comes a skunk across the net now. All right, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to answer the fool according to his folly. I mean, he's going to throw a skunk at me? Well, you want to play skunk? All right. You want to see me? You know what I am? I used to roll with the Hell's Angels, man. And okay, then all of a sudden we get in the flesh, we return, and we answer according to a fool's folly. That's not what we've been called to do. We've been called to continue to serve properly, circumspectly, the tennis ball. Back to them. That tennis ball is truth. That tennis ball is grace. That tennis ball is the fruit of the Spirit in all its manifest ways, and long-suffering and patience and everything. We keep serving that back. Or you're going to run out. He's never bringing that tennis ball back. She's never returning the tennis ball. I'm going to run out. I have to go to Walmart and buy another can. No, you don't, because you have the ultimate
tennis ball factory in heaven called the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. You will never run out of patience. You will never run out of long-suffering. You will never run out of love. You just continue to keep serving that unto the enemy. And by pouring grace upon him, it will set a fire coals upon his head. And that grace perhaps will speak a message to them like nothing else will, certainly more than returning a fist or a skunk. So this is the world right here. It's been marred by sin. It's been impacted. It's been shot up with holes. It's been affected by sin. Romans 7 talks about this, that all of creation groans. It's like this old rusty bucket. All creation groans for the redemption, for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was once very different. And we tend to look back at the beginning and we have this measuring stick called physics and biology, and we try to figure out how God did it and what it was like, but we don't know. After the curse, our measuring stick falls apart. We don't really know what it was like, what the earth was like in completeness. Right now, all we have is this. This is what we have. This is what sin has done. It's shot up the world. It's been affected. It's under the sway of sin, it says in Romans 7. And all creation, the deer, everything, all of creation, even the inanimate objects, are under the sway and are waiting for the redemption when all heaven and earth will be created and made new. So you have the world right here, and you have the flesh. This is man. We know Romans 5 talks about that. Let's turn there just real quick. Look at verse 12 in Romans 5. The amazing equation that's in the Bible for us. It mathematically works. You have the questions of why is all this happening? What's going on? This is God's math equation. If you want to understand what's happening mathematically, as some people like to think, here is your verse. 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, that's one side of the equation, and so death passed unto all men, for all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Here we are moving to the other side of the equation mathematically. Sin entering in and death by sin. Now the balancing act coming in. For if through the offense of one many be dead, but much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So if anything, it's actually a greater than sign. Mathematically speaking, the grace of God overpowering all of this, the effects of sin, of one act of disobedience. God is a holy God, absolutely. And we can wink at things and we can think, well, that's not a big deal and all of that. It is a big deal. God is holy and he's just and he's perfect. So the grace of God has to come into an equation like this. But this is right here representation of the flesh. We've been created in the image of God, so I felt this was a very appropriate representation of us. Many faceted, we're very complex creatures made in the image of God. We're multi-part, mind, body, and soul. We have different facets about us. We're very intriguing, you know, to sit with one person and discover who they are and their past and the many facets that make them up can be a lifetime. Just one individual. But this represents how sin has tainted the individual. Has infected every aspect of them, their mind, their body, their soul, has been infected, impacted negatively by sin. This last one we have here is the devil. I'm going to see him in a minute here. But ultimately, he is what is revealed in all of this. So false witnesses, being the sway of the world, that things returning evil for good, in verse 12, back to Psalm 35. But as for me, when they were sick,
My clothing was sackcloth. Here, do you see, guys? Can you see it? The tennis game? I can't help but just serve goodness. I can't help but to serve truth. I can't help but to serve honesty. I humbled my soul with fasting. And my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourns for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced. So what did he get in return for that? A dead carp came over the net. A skunk came over the net. Something disgusting came over. Whatever was in that bag that Mindy left at my house came over the net. She saves her
compost.
And it was in a nice little bag. It was a pretty little bag. And I think I forgot about it. It had been sitting out on the porch for a long time. I was like, oh, I know what's in there.
We have to throw that bag away.
Whatever that was, what used to be, that came over the net. As he's serving good things, as he's serving good things, this vial is coming back. And we know this ultimately culminated with Jesus Christ. That, for what are you crucifying? For what are you persecuting me? For what offense, Jesus would ask. You know, all I have done is healed people, but yet, because of this, the eyes that are just, they're clogged. The eyes are one of the facets of the human being, just clogged with nastiness. All they could see was evil in Jesus. All they could see was evil in everything, except themselves. Blind. They rejoiced in my adversity when things were going bad and stumbling on the tennis court, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yes, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. Not even a fair fight, but just to keep going until there's absolute destruction. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. We know this would come to pass with Jesus, of course, when we're in John chapter 6, going into 7. Him kind of delaying going to the feast. He knew it was a setup. He couldn't even go to a feast, something of celebration to God, without some type of attack, some type of setup and trap happening for him. That's the way of the kingdom of darkness. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? He says in verse 17. He's enlisting the help of the Lord. Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. That's my darling life, my only life. This is all we have here. Our, this life that we have on this earth is special to us, obviously. It's very fragile and it's frail. My darling life, it would be from the lions. Just a few psalms ago, he would call that darling life from the dog of death. And we talked about that in Psalm 22. So this reference coming up again. And that darling is my only son. In other places, when Abraham sacrificed Isaac, where he was going to, in obedience to God, that would be his darling, his only begotten son, his only son. Something very, very special there, that word. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yes, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye has seen it. This is equivalent of a curse word. It sounds obnoxious and offensive just reading it. And you know that sense of feeling that you get it when someone says, aha, just waiting for you to fall, just waiting for you to fail. Than to come over and kick you in the head. Just waiting, lying in wait. So our calling is to wait differently than waiting for people to fall and kick them in the head. Our calling is to be waiting in hope, waiting in faith, waiting, trusting, and developing strength in the Lord. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment or justice, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. You hear that? Enlisting God, bringing God into the equation, how desperate we are as a deer panting for the water when we're in these situations where we got the aha going on and we're in that and we're surrounded and they're ready to just do us in. Stir up thyself, God, look on the situation. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so we would have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. It's the idea of pride happening there. And it's the effects of the world from the kingdom of darkness unto the flesh of man. And we know the signature, the one that wears this glove and walks in the shoe is the devil himself behind all of this. And Asher read it this morning, the serpent in the garden. That's what it all comes from. There's his glove, there's his shoe. The person of the devil. So there's a personality that comes in this kingdom. It's impacted the world. It's impacted me and you. We're born of this nature. This is the sin nature. We're born more like him than we are of God. That's a pretty weird, spooky thought. Oh, such an angel, such a beautiful, you know. Yes, but the truth of the matter is, which we have a hard time accepting as parents, is we are more like this than we are of God. Our nature is of sin, not of God when we're born. So immediately as parents, we start training them up in the ways of the Lord. That's what we're to do. It's a training because we're training them out of all of that kingdom of darkness. So don't be surprised when you see the signature, you see the dust coming off of your child. We are all in that condition. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stirring up the Lord, enlisting God. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness. Let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, we would have it. Let them not say we've swallowed them up. Let them be brought to confusion. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteousness cause, my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. That was what was up on the screen today. We opened up today with that particular verse. Having that tree of life. Again, playing the tennis game all our life, folks. We got to decide that now, that we're not going to throw the skunk back over. We need to leave that for God to take care of. We're not going to throw the dead carp back over. We're not going to throw that rotten thing over. We don't even know what it is. We're going to speak of thy righteousness all the day long and thy praise all the day long. And continue to keep doing that. So when we go to work, it's unto the Lord. What does that mean? It's you're serving the Lord. What does it mean to serve the Lord? It means to do it with anger, and you got to fill some type of sheet that you're checking off things. Well, I did this. I went to church, and I put some money in the box, and I did this, and I filled out a children's shoebox, and I did these kind of things. No, not at all. It's righteousness that we are called to serve unto the Lord as we work, as we interact with each other, this tongue speaking the praises of God all the day long. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Magnifying the Lord. We see two different magnifications going on here. Very interesting event happened this morning that provoked some thought anyway. Gretchen was trying to go take a picture of a deer. This morning she was going out and I'm going to, you know, sneak up on the deer. And it's like, I can't even sneak up on deer when I'm all descented and in camo. And it's like, they have these radar systems that they hear the doorknob click from 100 yards away. You know, they're just amazing creatures, very sensitive. And, you know, they're so sensitive and tuned into everything going on. So she's trying to get a picture of that deer. And I was just starting to think about this, in particular this verse that's going to come up to us in verse 9 there. With thee is the fountain of light, in thy light shall we see light. You know, the magnification of God here, we're going to see in Psalm 36. As all of this nastiness on the table is balanced out, what's happening here is we're called to magnify God. And in doing that, it's very clear. It becomes very clear to us which kingdom we belong to. I don't want anything to do with this other than to keep serving truth and love in hopes that we will be able to capture some by God's grace and bring them along with us into the kingdom of God, to take captives, set them free unto the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:13 talks about that. We've been translated, literally translated from the power of darkness. We won't turn there into the kingdom of his son. So if I were to have another table up here, didn't have time to prepare that. I thought about it, bringing some squash and grapes and everything in, some beautiful things. The kingdom of his son, it says. So the kingdom of God, kingdom of his son, kingdom of light, all the same thing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So get that idea that we're magnifying God as we look at this short psalm in 36, and it's being balanced out here. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. So he's having discernment. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart. There's a discernment going on. He's separating himself. He's having understanding. He's not jumping into the kingdom of darkness. He is having this understanding and discernment that there's no fear of God before his eyes. That's called discernment right there. Verse 1, you can write right next to your margins, discernment. It says to my heart, what's going on with them serving carp over the tennis court line there, of them being false witnesses, rewarding me evil for good? All of that says to me, it speaks something in my heart, that there's no fear of God before their eyes. They're having a great time in this dirt and this muck with Oscar the Grouch, and this is their kingdom. They're having a great time, you know, but under a delusion, this is where they're at. There's no fear of God in this kingdom. They're under that delusion that nothing's ever going to happen. This is all we have in this life. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So there's no fear of God before his eyes. We know wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. It says that in the book of wisdom. It talks about that being the number one thing. That's the primary thing. It's like, wow, I have a creator. Maybe I ought to get to know this creator. Maybe this creator has absolute moral values and things like that. And I should get to know. That's called the fear of God. It's having awe and respect of the one that created you. Verse 2 speaks of the pride that goes on in this kingdom. For he flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. If we had time this morning, we'd go to 2 Timothy 3. We won't, but you can go there in your own time. It talks about that in the latter times, this increasing. It's always been here, but man, it's going to get really, really bad. That's all there's going to be, is that selfish, narcissistic society. Just so wound up in their cell phones and everything. For he flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Do you think it's an incident or accident that just the way things have developed and technology has? It's like, oh, just randomly a cell phone was invented and all the apps that go with it speak to flattering ourselves before our own eyes until iniquity be found to be hateful, until the place where it leads into sin. Pride always goes in that direction. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. That's not on the plate anymore. Left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. Doesn't even go to sleep properly. He's still stewing over how he can set a trap for you. How he can say, aha, aha, and kind of imagine that in his mind or her mind of you falling and then saying aha over you. You trusted in God, you know. Same insults they hurled on Jesus. Hey, take yourself down from the cross. You trusted in God, that shooting of the lip, you know. It's so disgusting on such a pure and holy God on the cross. We can't wrap our mind around it other than to know that's the effect of one sin has brought all of that destruction in. That's the sway of what's happening in the world right now. Devising this mischief. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Now we're going to see this magnification coming very clearly. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest the man and beast. Who's singing the song right now?
Yeah, for sure.
faithfulness reaches, what was that?
Stretches to the sky.
Yeah, amen. How excellent is thy loving kindness. It's cool that we don't know the chords and so forth that went on, but hey, we could still sing these songs. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Exclamation. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Thy mercy, that Lord, reaches unto the clouds. Your righteousness is like mountains. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God! They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. The fatness of thy house is a fully stocked house, refrigerator. Somebody was hearing a testimony yesterday. I listened to so many testimonies yesterday. I was delighting myself in the Lord. I had taken a Sabbath and just listening to all these testimonies. Absolutely enjoyed it. Crying, all that. That's the fatness. The fatness of the Lord, you know, the house being full of the testimonies of God. And I'm going to encourage you right now, and mentioned it last night, going to mention it this morning, I'll mention it at the tent tonight, to take a couple of minutes and give a testimony to the Lord. It could be how you receive the Lord or some other situation in your life to give glory to Him. Part of the testimony strengthens the church. All these testimonies strengthen the church and bring us to this place of encouragement. Thank you, Lord. The fatness in thy house, the rivers of pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Whoa, that's cool. With thee is the fountain of life. Nothing here is the fountain of life. The kingdom of darkness, the world, flesh, and devil, this is all on the way to decay. Adam started out very clean. All the facets were there. Everything of him, you know, the eyes, everything like that. Then the dirt came in. And so even his eyes being clouded, he saw himself naked. So everything being impacted by sin and shame and guilt, as Asher shared this morning, starting a blame game. It was the devil that did. Well, she did it and he did it and all this that goes on. That's the sway of the world going on. Man, this fountain of life, it's over on this other table. We'll just point to this table right here. The Word of God this morning. That's good enough, definitely. The fountain of life coming out this morning, the pure Word of God. That was our prayer before service this morning as we gathered in the back, that it would be pure, it would be of Him. And we don't want the opinion of man. We don't want political ideas. We don't want social ideas. We want the Word of God that sets us free. It makes us free. It declares us free. In thy light shall we see light. So back with the story with Gretchen taking a picture of the deer. I was fascinated to think, well, she's out there sneaking around trying to get a picture of this doe and her fawn. I'm sitting in the house looking at her and then looking at that deer, and we both see this deer. And that tells me that light is coming from that deer. It's brown light coming from the deer. And whatever that means, the colors and all that. We won't get into that. But she sees it. I see it. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool. The light from the sun is coming off that deer, and we both can see this deer, but let's just take this right out of orbit. Go up to a satellite that has the resolution down to like 20 inches, and it can take pictures of your house and your mailbox, you know, and all of that stuff. And one pixel would, probably 3 pixels would equal the deer. You just see a kind of a brown shape there. But a satellite, 22,000 miles above Gretchen and myself, this morning could see that deer. 22,000 miles. Why? Because the satellite is shooting things at it to see it. What's the satellite doing? It's simply seeing the light. It's receiving light. It's very special lenses and very special focal engagements and configurations that stream that light so it can get down to those fine pixels, but there's a little bit of that brown light, we'll call it, coming up off that deer. 22,000 miles up to the satellite above it. That fascinates me to no end. That fascinates me. Where's that light coming from? 93 million miles away. There's just one star out of the trillions and trillions and trillions that God has created, that shining light on that little brown deer that Gretchen can see, that I can see in the house, and that satellite 22,000 miles away, they're all receiving different photons. I'm not seeing the one she is, but I'm seeing the same light from this little deer down there. This little deer. This is God's creation. It speaks, it declares His glory. His light brings to me this place. In thy light shall we see light. It's in the light of God that we're able to see and perceive into the smallest of detail how powerful the light of God is. His lamp, His word. Gretchen was asking yesterday, what are you going to do when you get to Psalm 119? Girl, I'm going to bust out the light. It's going to happen because that's where we see the lamp is going to shine. It's going to talk all about that. The word of God, the word of God, the word of God. And yeah, it'll take us a month, but we'll get through it. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Here it is, the signature of the devil. Let not the foot of pride, there's an old shoe, and not, let the hand of the wicked remove me. Anybody want to, I don't even want to touch that. You know, when you get into that place of discernment, as in Psalm 36, where he's discerning in his heart what's happening in a different situation, and all of a sudden you just like feel really close to that slimy one. It's like, wow, this is the devil, man. This is the devil's work. And you have that discernment, and it's like you pull away and you start praising God, magnifying Him. It's like, I am not part of this. You know, I am not part of that. And magnifying God, and now enlisting God in the equation to have victory in this situation. And our ultimate victory is to see the darkness translated into light. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's not to see the enemy destroyed. That's great. Every Hollywood movie, the bad guy gets it in the end. But man, you know, when Jesus came down, it wasn't just to destroy enemies, to destroy people. It was to bring them out. It was to bring them out, to set the captives free. Would open Isaiah 61. It says, I'm here to set the captives free. I am here to set those that are in bondage, that are their hearts are all in bondage, to set them free. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me. Now getting it personal. Yeah, the world has its influence, and my own flesh has its propensities and its ways. But man, ultimately, it all belongs to this one right here, that kingdom of darkness. And I don't want anything to do with that. I want to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. I want to crucify, mortify everything that is of my old nature. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. That's the ultimate promise if we continue on that path. That table, that's all that table has to offer. Not able to rise. Fret not thyself. Psalm 37. In the battle plan is now digging in. We could think of digging in as trenching in. I'm not going to break out a lot of these verses. We don't have time today, but I'm going to read it. You can think of it as digging in into the trenches for battle. You could also think of it as digging in as a sandwich and delighting yourself in the Lord, feasting upon God. So both apply. Fret not or fear not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So in the sandwich, if you're thinking of it that way, the top slice of bread is fear not. Then you're going to see that come again in, where's the other end of the sandwich here? Verse 8, fret not thyself. So you see two slices of bread here. Let's dig into the sandwich. Let's read it. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Praise God. Maddie shared from that Proverbs 3 this morning, coming from acknowledging him all of your ways. Don't think of yourself as higher than you ought to. Acknowledge him, exalt him, magnify him. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment or justice as the noonday. The last one in the sandwich, this beautiful sandwich, is rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So this thing that we can get caught up when there's evil is something called fear, fretting, worrying, being anxious, taking anxious thought because someone is against us. Someone threw a carp over the tennis net, and we get all offended. We get all amazed. Oh my goodness, this isn't supposed to happen. Yes, it is. It's actually a promise. These things will happen. And don't take fear. Don't take anxious thought. Don't worry about it. Don't spin out in the rocking chairs like, wow, how can they do that? How can they? Well, the devil, the world, the flesh, all of that is happening. We need to keep doing what we've been called to do. Trusting in the Lord, delighting ourselves in the Lord, man. Hearing those testimonies yesterday, bang, one after another, man. Just tears flowing. It's like, wow, wow. This PhD from Harvard and how he saw a vision from the Lord and he saw the Lord himself with a cross behind him. And now he's telling all his peers and PhDs and they're like, you're a jerk, you're a weirdo. But that's what I saw. And he's real. He's really the Lord. He's living inside my heart now. To the blue collar worker, to the drug addict on the street, all these testimonies and witnesses, equally beautiful and amazing and wonderful. I was delighting myself in the Lord. Maybe you would want to go this afternoon and just hear some worship music, delighting yourself in that. And committing your way unto him. Lord, if I go to this town, I buy this house, I marry this individual, I'm committing my way to you. I'm committing my way to you. That's all of it. I'm acknowledging you in all my ways. Not just half of them. Not the things I can't figure out. It's everything. Even especially the things I can figure out. Especially the things that are obvious. Because I know my vision is so limited. The thing is obvious to me is like, wait a minute. I'm not going to jump on this. What appears to be obvious, I'm going to acknowledge God even in that. Praise God. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness, rest in the Lord, cease from anger. And here's the other side of the bread, is that fret not thyself. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, thou shalt be diligently considering his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The lowest fruit hanging on the tree when we first receive Christ is the first thing we experience is not necessarily patience. It's not necessarily long-suffering. That's not when you receive Christ. That's not the first thing you receive. It's bang, right on the head. Big old apple hanging on the tree or peach or pear. It's called peace. It hits you, the peace of God. And it's like, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to do it. Come to me as you are, the peace of God. It all speaks to peace. Abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. God sure does. The wicked has drawn out the sword and has bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conduct. The sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. So you see a little bit of the enemy thing coming back, but primarily what's happening in this last particular one is we're digging in as we've magnified the Lord, we're digging into truth, we're digging into peace, we're digging into the fruits of the kingdom of God, we're digging into who we are, identity. We're not going to fall in as we're so focused on the dirt. We're so focused on what the world's doing and how bad it is, we end up falling right into that old bucket. We end up falling right in. That's the warning for us today, is to stay where we're at and to keep serving, not apostate, to keep serving the love of God through the Holy Spirit. It's an endless supply. The wicked have drawn their sword, bent their bows. A little, verse 16, that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. This truth coming out now. This is delighting ourselves in God. This is waiting on the Lord properly. You're being taught in the kingdom. Jesus is sitting on the rock looking at you with a loving face and telling you, Paul, he's telling you, Gretchen, it's better to have just a little bit. Better are just having a little and having the righteousness of the kingdom of God than is to have the many riches of the wicked, and encouraging us in these truths. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. That's like fuel that will burn up. They shall consume into smoke, they shall consume away. So that's like oil catching on fire. I was working on a snowplow getting ready for winter, tractor trailer going over the railroad tracks, got smacked by a freight train. Freight train won the match. And I didn't know. I was inside the barn, and all of a sudden, it sounded like an explosion. I immediately thought a fuel car exploded because it sounded like an explosion. It didn't sound like impact. It sounded like a bomb going off. I'm ready for the walls of the barn to cave in. It's that loud. And I'm only a couple hundred yards away from the tracks down out there at the barn. There was a concern with a diesel, obviously, with a tractor trailer. No one was hurt. This is bringing back a little memory. Just keep our attention alive. The last few minutes here, but this is the end of, it's going to be that destructive, powerful judgment. It's going to be consumed like fire, and smoke they shall be consumed away, just like that explosion. There isn't going to be purgatory. There isn't going to be after this life. It's appointed once a man and unto judgment. It's like boof, that fire coming right down on them. The wicked borrows and pays not again. But the righteous shows mercy and gives. So, great thing to understand. I don't want to be anything associated with the wicked or the ways of the wicked. We know their ways is to cheat. Their ways is not to pay back. It's to get ahead. Is whoever you could swindle, whoever you can manipulate, do it. Don't pay them back or whatever. Whatever you can get away with, then go use somebody else. That's the way of the wicked. I don't want anything to do with that. If you want that, have at it, because this is all the promise you have, and to go up and smoke someday. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. That's okay. What's the guy doing there? He doesn't pay back. Well, what's he to keep doing? He keeps showing truth. Keeps showing love. He stands his ground. He doesn't throw a skunk back. He doesn't throw a spear back. He throws love back. But that love can come through exhortation and truth. Come through correction. The word of God, but you actually care of that individual. You're not throwing hatred back. It's coming out of a loving heart that you instruct and you teach people that are doing such things. For such as be blessed of him that inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. And he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Well, we all have to live that verse. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. There's the testimonies that we want to hear at the tent. Those are the testimonies that encourage us. We want to hear on Sunday mornings, on Friday nights, people gather here. Friday nights when people gather at the house. Tuesday, Wednesdays, we want to hear these testimonies, what God is doing and how he's involved. He's a good shepherd. He is ever merciful in verse 26 and lends. And his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves judgment or justice. That's the right way. And forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. That's the children. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom and his tongue talks of judgment. There's that fruitful evidence happening. The law of his God is in his heart and none of his steps shall slide. Out of the heart the mouth speaks. The tree of life is happening. How do you know what's going on in your heart? Well, it's on your tongue. That's real easy to see it. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. That's what they do. They consume. They're like black holes. They're always consuming and manipulating to advance their kingdom. They might say the word Jesus. They might quote scripture. They come in all shapes and forms, but it's all on that table. It's all part of the kingdom of darkness. Remember when Satan originally, when the one that wore these gloves and hands and shoes, in the illustration anyway, he mixed the word of truth. It was 99% true, and there's that little bit of falsehood, right? Mark the perfect man. Missed the verse. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yes, I saw him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for that sandwich, Lord Jesus Christ, that we can not only have victory, but we can enjoy, we can delight ourselves in the things of the kingdom, Lord God. Not only have victory from the things that are trying to destroy us, but we can delight ourselves in the things that are causing us to advance in the kingdom of God and to grow in the grace of knowledge of who you are. Thank you, Lord, for setting a table even in the presence of our enemy, because there's things there, Lord God, provisions for your saints, Lord. You are a good shepherd, no doubt in my mind. No doubt, Lord God, as we wait on you, Lord Jesus Christ, in your time and in your way, Lord God, are perfect. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For this gathering that we've had, a small one today, Lord God, but I know how precious each one of these people are, God. I don't take that for granted. I thank you, Lord God, that you're multiplying around the world, Lord Jesus Christ, hearts that are given over to you. I pray for the tent meeting tonight, Lord Jesus Christ, there would be more salvations, Lord God. It's good to hear a young one last Sunday. We thank and praise you for that, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.